Okie dokie, we back here live and direct from downtown Northport, Florida. Yes, we
are. Wait, Northport has a downtown?
Actually, it does. Now, I remember when Northport was only a downtown.
I remember when Northport was only a wide spot in the road 20 years ago.
Well, they had the one little plaza there. And
which is still there.
Which is
the
still
original
there.
Building is still there.
And then there was like three or four other buildings kind of across the street, but that was about it.
Yeah.
And when I first drove through Northport, going back towards I-75, because I was working the bridges on I-75 as an iron worker, and to go back there either to find a place where you were working or to go fishing, you would spray paint on the road because there was no street signs. You'd use one color for this and one color for that. You just put like a little curve arrow or, you know, a little dot so you knew which way you were going. Because no street signs, the roads had trees growing in them. Because they laid out all these streets and roads and all that other stuff. And general development was selling lots back then. There was literally nothing here for up to $40,000.
Wow.
More than they're worth most cases now.
Yeah, yeah. Which is why there's so many lots that were taken back by the county and the city.
Oh, yeah. It was just one of the biggest land scandals and there was. It was just amazing. It was like the first time I ever drove into Cape Coral. You drive it in there and you get through this thing of trees and it looked like wasteland. Like all of a sudden you hit a desert and there was no trees as far. You could see way off to your right some trees, and to the left there was literally nothing except a couple buildings of Fort Myers, but just all wasteland in front of you. Then you started driving through it, and because with no trees to block the wind was steady at 20, 30 miles an hour going through there. Sandstorms, and everything's a bit different nowadays.
Oh, it certainly is. Some for the better, some for the worse.
But you know, just a lot of things. But this is a fishing show. But, you know, I'm the host here, Fishing Frank, and you never know what the heck I'm going to say. Kind of become renowned for, what did he just say? And Robert's in the chair across from me, and RJ's in command and control up there. And there's just a lot of fishing going on. It is, there's a lot of fish.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We got Spanish mackerel, right? They're everywhere.
Yeah. There's been some. I mean, they're scattered from the upper harbor and the holes, but your better numbers get more consistent as you get down below Cape Hayes and out along the intercoastal and even out along the beaches because it's been an east wind. So the first quarter mile to a mile, depending on where you're coming out of, is very, very calm, and there's been Spanish all over the place. And I've seen two pictures where I had to look at them twice to see if they were cerros or baby king mackerel because they were 25 inches long.
Oh, no. Back up in Turtle Bay, I hear the guys are catching them well over 20 inches inside Turtle Bay.
Wow. See, that's pretty impressive.
You know, they're usually not a shallow water
no.
fish. And for them to actually be going back into Turtle Bay, some of the other parts. Now, Bull and Turtle Bay do have spots in them where it's 4 to 6 foot of water.
Mm-hmm.
We think of it as 6 inches of water, 18 inches of water, but there's actually quite a bit of area back there with semi-deep water, you know, 4 to 6 foot. And it's just crazy when you start hearing mackerel inside of the bays.
Yeah,
I don't remember that happening in years past.
Not with any consistency. You always hear that one oddball, but...
Well, there's always that weird, you know, every family's got that weird relative. You know, crazy uncle, Ernest or whatever, you know. He drools on himself a little bit, but he's a nice guy. He's just a little weird. And I think fish have those same relatives.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's always that crazy one in the family.
Guys are catching them in every manner possible, too. They're actually out there trolling. Little spoons and small bucktails have been real popular the last several days for guys in the shop.
Sold a ton of Clark spoons.
Yeah, a ton of Clark spoons. You know, and there's glass minnows out there. There's been some white bait, small fry out there. So I think those guys are trying to match the hatch. But in some instances, a couple guys have been going to like the 3/4 ounce spoons, or what is that, the number one or number two in the Clark spoons?
Yeah, going up to the number one.
Yeah, a little bit more sizable.
We sell the zero or the double zero, the aught or the double aught. And those are your common Spanish mackerel sizes. But some of the mackerel out there are so big that they're bumping up 2-3 sizes in the spoons and still doing good, just eliminating some of the smaller ones.
Yeah.
Do we have a theory as to why they're moving so far up into the harbor?
Well, they come all the way up to the 41 bridge.
Is it the bait that's up in the area?
But back in the bays like that, it could be bait. It could be almost anything.
Now, well, I'm going to say it's a combination of two things, to be honest. I mean, it's the food source is pretty abundant out there. I mean, there's clouds of little bait fish. I mean, I've even got little clouds of bait behind the house, little glass minnows of, you know, small fish fry of some kind that are like a half inch long. But the salinity has gone up significantly down there in Bull and Turtle Bay versus normally. It's still got some pretty good tannins to it under normal situations.
Well, normally the Peace River would be flowing at about 1,300 cubic feet per second. That's the average middle water flow. We're at 386.
Oh, geez, a lot lower than I thought.
So the least that was recorded was 199 back in 2008, and that's when we were having the drought.
Right.
And at 386, that's below the average lows. I mean,
right. It's super low.
So in Arcadia, it's at 2.6 feet right now and falling. It's been falling about a foot a day. Every 24 hours, it's been going down about a foot. But that's not much water coming down. So what you're going to see right now going out into Charlotte Harbor, because it's such a unique entity with the Peace River at one part of the top, the Myakka River at the other side, with the Myakka River and Peace River both flow towards the western side of the harbor because Punta Gorda sticks way out. That makes that water flow on the outgoing tide down that west side of the harbor. But the incoming tide goes in and goes up the east side. So right now, the east side of the harbor's got nice, clear salt water on it, and the west side has still brown tannic water on it. It still hasn't leveled out all the way across yet. So as you're crossing one side of the harbor to the other, if the fish are spooky on the east side because the water's real clear, go to the west side. It's still pretty dark.
Right.
So it's kind of that wonderful time of year where you get a little bit more of everything because we have so many different types of fishing here.
Well, in scenarios of fishing, like you were just saying, you got the clear water and then go into some of the darker water. Plus, we've got a lot of wind lately, so that's clouding up certain areas, which can make it fairly productive for some fish. You know, so you've got a lot of different really pretty cool options.
All right. Looking around, are we seeing any fish? How about you've got on the list here whiting and pompano. What's going on with the whiting and the pompano?
Yeah, I've been hearing some pretty good numbers of whiting and pompano out there from Stump Pass all the way up to the Venice jetties, just right along the beaches, but also as you get closer to the passes, it seems like the numbers are a little bit better. And then I even had one gentleman that was fishing up in Sarasota. He didn't specify the beach that he was at, but he wasn't at Siesta Key. My guess is Turtle Beach, because that's a pretty popular beach for beachgoers and fishermen, versus Siesta Key is more beachy. But he was getting some whiting. He saw a couple pompano, and he saw one flounder swimming in the surf, which startled him because he thought it was a stingray at first. So the beaches are got a lot of life going on them out there, and the few whiting that I've seen pictures of were a solid pound. I mean, pretty good size whiting.
Enough for a meal.
Yeah. You know,
definitely worth keeping the fillet up and have for something to eat.
Yeah, I'm not hearing of phenomenal numbers, but the pictures and the couple guys telling me about the fish they're catching seem like they're pretty chunky. And then the pompano have been running a little bit on the bigger side. They're running on average of like 20 to 22 inches.
Right. Now, they've been catching them both, same lures or same bait, or shrimp. How are they fishing?
Shrimp mostly. A lot of the guys are using shrimp, just casting out along. The surf has been really laid down a lot on almost all the beaches because of the easterly wind we've had for the last who knows how long at this point. But depending on which beach you're at, you've got very slick, calm conditions from anywhere from 200 yards out to a mile out. You know, it just depends on your land base that's blocking it, whether it's tall trees, homes, or just small sand dunes. So you kind of have to kind of pick and choose where you're fishing at. Like I heard from the Stump Pass parking lot, right there by the parking lot, it's really, really calm. But as you get about halfway towards the point of Stump Pass, it starts to get a little ripply and gets a little bit sand blown because there's that big, wide expanse of beach there. And then it starts to narrow back in by the pass. So it's calmer over as you get closer to the pass.
All right. Now, the weather, I think, is playing a big part. We've got so many mackerel. We've got pompano. We've got a lot of whiting. We're hearing stories of so many fish. September was a weird month for weather.
Yeah. Yeah, what was the hurricane? I'm sorry, it's bad.
Dorian.
Dorian. I mean, Dorian destroyed the Bahamas, but the side effect of it was it coincided kind of the movie The Perfect Storm, where it went up and sucked all this moisture away from us.
Well, there's two or three, four since then?
Right.
There's just a ton of different storms going through.
Those followed back to back to back, which kept that drier air over us for some apparent reason, which then we had a little cold front kind of push down above us. It dried out Florida almost overnight.
Yeah, there's been a high pressure system over us for about the last 6 weeks. And if you look at these tropical disturbances that have been forming in the south there, just off the coast, they're all being pushed either out into the Atlantic or over into Mexico. And that's because of that high that's sitting over the top. And generally speaking, when you got a high over you, it's going to be dry. So humidity is way down, forest fire numbers are going way up again. And
the big thing about it was, I think, did you say it was the driest September on record?
Yeah, I heard this morning on the news that it was the driest September on record. Is it this morning or yesterday morning? But September was the driest Florida has had on record.
So,
I forget what the annual rainfall is supposed to be.
How many tropical storms, hurricanes, and all that have been going right around us and by us.
Yeah.
Think we've actually had the driest September on record is just kind of crazy.
It is, and people that aren't familiar with, the Florida weather pattern is August is always, one of our rainiest months where it's pretty much every day. And then in September, it's kind of like the first week is every day just about. Second week is like every other day. Third week is about every third day. And by the fourth week, it's once, twice that week. And then we're kind of kick off dry season in October. This year it went from rainy to zero. Like you were saying, the desert in Cape Coral, it literally went from a jungle to the desert overnight.
Oh, yeah. I was out mowing my grass, and for the first part of the summer, I couldn't keep the lawnmower from plugging up. You know, it was just even if I went out at 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the grass was soaking wet.
Right.
And went out to cut the grass. Shenango finally got my lawnmower fixed. They didn't have it that long, and it is busy season for them. But yeah. They got my lawnmower fixed, delivered it back to the house, and I went around, and I had to put on a dust mask. There was no chance anything was going to, plug up. It was just so dry. It was blowing everywhere. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And that's the first time all year that happened. You were out on the beaches out there. You saw some snook out there, right?
Yeah, we saw some snook. Christina, the girlfriend, and I were out there hanging out. Christina, my girlfriend.
Oh, suddenly I thought it was going to get
I thought he was doing doubles here or something from the way you said that.
No, you're right. So we were out at the beach on Monday evening.
I was going to say, I have a hard time believing you can handle her, much less a second.
I don't need a second around. Maybe for a conversation so I don't have to get involved, but other than that, no. We we went out to the beach.
That's why they ought to allow you to have two.
We're not ever going to let him finish
his
story.
Just so they could actually talk to each other.
Yeah, we're not ever going to let him finish his story, are we? Go ahead, Robert.
You're okay. You and your girlfriend and your wife. Okay.
Yeah. Keep digging my hole, right? We were hanging out on the beach. We like to fish out there at Boca Grande, and they did the beach renourishment this summer, which is a drag, but we wanted to go out there and mess around, fish, see what was happening. And we saw some snook cruising along the beach, but the weird part was is almost all of them were singles. Saw only a couple fish that we could distinguish were snook that were in doubles, but the majority of them were just single fish. And they weren't real big fish. They were in the mid to upper 20s.
Now, we're not sure why, because if they're out there spawning, they're going to be in schools. You're going to see anywhere from 3 to 50 snook in a bunch. It could even be more.
Right.
So they're obviously not spawning, and this is the time of year they should be coming back up here. But now with the rain just quitting the way it did, this is also the time of year that male snook move to San Francisco and become female snook.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, truly, and it takes like 30 to 90 days to go from male to female. And it happens in that 20-some-inch range. It can be somewhere, you know, give or take 30 inches, a little bit more or less. And not all the males turn female.
Right.
But the majority do. And in as little as 30 days, they can go from male to female. Now, the question I have is, do fish have testicles? Now, I don't think they've got a penis, but they're...
Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, what's the fish known for biting testicles?
Oh,
human testicles. What's the fish that is on record as a testicle biter?
A paku.
Yes, that's true. The paku piranha, cousin to the Hollywood version, has blunted teeth, not razor pointy teeth. But that actually has been documented biting the testicles of a guy swimming.
Right. And that's because by nature they're vegetarians, which they eat a lot of the different
fruits.
Why
does that make... Wait a minute. By nature there's a vegetarian, so that makes it okay to go up and bite you in the testicles?
No. That's your fault for swimming naked anyway.
No, but how does being a vegetarian get you into... This fish bites testicles. Well, he's by nature a vegetarian, so that makes sense.
Because they eat the berries and the fruit off the trees that fall
into
the water.
Oh, the berries!
That makes sense.
It's the berry story!
Yeah.
There are berries there! I feel bad for this guy. That's got to be embarrassing at the gym.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I'm sorry. Berries, really?
Berries biting the berries? Yeah.
Wow, that went off the rails real fast.
Real quick.
No, wait a minute. That wasn't my fault.
Yeah, kind of
was.
He was
able to go vegetarians to biting some guy's testicles because they're berry-like?
Oh, well, welcome to community radio, boys and girls.
Yes.
I'm sorry. This is...
The question was...
So the vegetarian berry biter...
Yes.
Well, the question was, do fish have penises? And the answer is no.
All right.
But they do have what's called a tubule. And that's where the sperm forms in the tubule, and then that gets discharged from the anal vent. That same, everything comes out that
What's
same.
What's that called, Robert?
Yeah, cloaca, isn't it?
Cloaca. Well, no, that would be...
Is that only applied in reptiles?
Amphibians and reptiles, yeah. I think with fish, it's the anal vent. And, I mean, I could look that up, but...
Nah, it's good enough.
I think we're good with it, you know.
But fish do have ovaries. And because of the way that mechanism is set up, you know, having this sac that forms sperm or a similar-like sac that forms the eggs, that's how fish are able to go back and forth between being male and female. Hermaphroditism, it's called.
That's really a great point, because what people don't understand is if you have a large number of female snook in an area, a certain number of those will switch back to male, just on the fly. I mean, and it really happens very, very quickly. So
I think you're right about a 30-day process to go from one sex to the other.
You know,
and basically,
I mean, that's almost as fast as you could drive to San Francisco. You know, right. So basically, what?
I'm still driving to San Francisco, but I think that what happens is you've got this organ that's similar in function. It can do one or the other, and it allows the species to switch back and forth. And it's not male and female like we think of in mammals and higher vertebrates.
So you're telling me no boobies involved?
No boobies involved.
Okay.
So, but basically that's what it is. It's organs that change their function.
Well,
as opposed to in humans where you actually need a surgeon somewhere along the line.
So it's just kind of strange that, you know, to be able to switch back and forth. And a lot of people think all big snook are female, and it's absolutely not true. Quite a bit of them are big males. The normal thing is for them to switch, but not all of them switch. I mean, I think it's in the 80% that turn female, but you still have like 20% males, even though they're 40-some inch long. You can get big male snook.
Well, think of the survival mechanism that is. Depending on what's going on in the environment, if you don't have enough males to fertilize the females, well, then you'd get a couple of females to change.
Here's the question. Do we have pacus here in Northport and Port Charlotte? Should you risk going swimming without a cup in the freshwater of Port Charlotte or Northport?
I can't answer that positively, but I do, over the years, have seen a couple of them that were caught in Rotunda.
We have them in Rotunda, Punta Gorda, and Northport. There are pacu piranha here. The most common theory is they were let go from somebody's aquariums. But they get up like 20-some inches long, 30 inches long, 40 inches long?
Yeah.
They get up 40 inches long?
Look up the all-tackle world record. It was actually set here in Florida on the other coast like 2 years ago. And I want to say it went from like 30-something pounds to like 50 pounds now. It's ridiculous with
that
the
is
new
one. That is one big animal to have teeth like that.
The all tackle record is giant.
And
now,
considering what they want to bite on, I'm not going in the freshwater anymore. I've never had a fear of going in freshwater.
My swimming days are over.
Gators be darned. I don't care about the gator. Take the leg.
Right.
Keep the pacu away from me.
Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy what the size is on it. I mean, I might be mistaken on that, but it's
I think
giant.
You're right.
It's scary big.
50-pound.
Yeah.
Berry eater.
And they're not native to here. I mean, they're native to South America. So catch the world record in North America, which is cool.
We haven't had a freeze in so many years. There's peacock bass here now. Is there any clown knife fish you've heard of here?
Yeah, I've heard of a couple in a couple different areas, yeah.
We've got peacock bass, clown knife fish, pacu piranhas, the tilapia, the Mayan cichlids, any wapote or machacas or anything like that?
Different fish. Not that I've heard of up this far yet.
I know they're down in the glades, but yeah. I don't know if they got them up here so far.
And the occasional Oscar they catch up here.
Oh, you forget about the Oscar. There was so many other ones. The Oscar's going to kill the Everglades. They're invasive species. And
I think they
saved
it.
The whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, they provided food for the starving alligators and the shorebirds.
I always felt bad for the gators in the glades because of the federal regulations. Here's something, boys and girls. This is true. This isn't like I'm making this stuff up. The reason they cannot divert the water from Okeechobee down to the Everglades is because of an EPA regulation stating the water going into the glades. If you're going to put water into the Everglades, it's got to be cleaner than bottled water, which makes no sense because the Everglades were nature's original filter design. They're supposed to filter the water, not have clean water going in and clean water coming out. It's supposed to be normal, kind of, medium good water going in and clean water coming out the other side. That's what the glades were designed for. And when they stopped allowing the water to go through there, that's when the Everglades died. And there's really, there used to be flocks of flamingos, and you name it. The Everglades was so full of life, it was unbelievable. And nowadays, it's pretty much a dead zone. And the poor alligators, I felt good for them when they started with all the pythons, and they gave the gators something to eat. But before that, they were literally eating snails to stay alive.
Yeah, it was pretty, it's still pretty bad. I mean, it has not even come close to correcting itself as far as them starving themselves, but it has helped significantly having those Oscars down there to help feed them, you know, and on top of all the recreational anglers that are going down there targeting them now, too.
Oh, yeah, it saved the economy.
Oh, yeah.
So the Oscars were one of the best things to help the Everglades. Excellent eating fish. The Paku piranha, I believe, is edible.
Mm-hmm.
The peacock bass, I don't know why you would. It's a pretty cool fish. I don't think I would eat one. I'm sure it's edible, but I don't believe I would eat one.
I don't think
just
I could
just because
eat
of
one.
The cool factor.
Yeah.
And a clown knifefish is so weird. I'm not eating it just on general principles.
Well, it's got a lot of little hair bones in it, so it's next to impossible unless you're going to make like a fish patty out of it.
So you'd have to grind it up really, really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a super mushy meat
that.
On top of all those little hair bones.
Wendy's
in it.
Is right down the street. For a buck something, I can get a burger. I'm not
right.
So Mayan cichlids, excellent eating. Tilapia, great eating. We have so many good eating fish. And then we got the bluegills, the shellcrackers. Shellcrackers, one I think is in trouble. Never hear about them anymore.
Well, same way with the warmouth.
Warmouth's another one. I haven't heard about anybody catching a warmouth in It's been about
2 years since I had one customer tell me he caught one. But prior to that, years.
Hmm.
So, you know, and a lot of people around here don't know what a warmouth is.
It's, or a shellcracker. They think it's a bluegill.
Right. But a warmouth looks completely different, though. You know, a warmouth, a lot of people mistake them for a baby smallmouth bass, which is what I did the very first time I caught one. Jeez, I was 12, 13 years old.
Kind of a cross between a mangrove snapper and a largemouth.
Yeah. Yeah, and they don't get much bigger than about 8 inches long. Really, 4 to 5 inches is the most common size, but they're just a warmouth. They're in the sunfish family, but they are not a smallmouth bass. So if you catch one in the freshwater canals, especially here in Northport, we used to catch them a lot in the Cocoa Plum Waterway when I was a kid, and they look like a smallmouth bass. So if you catch one, it's most definitely going to be a warmouth, but you just never hear about them anymore.
Well, getting back onto the subject, we were talking about snook, and snook cruising along the beaches, they're mostly in singles right now. Now,
Right. Maybe
they want to be alone while they do their transition thing, but a lot of the snook are heading back into the canals, going up there, and October's not a big beach fishing month for snook.
No.
And to see so many singles and every once in a while double snook out there, I wonder if these fish are coming in from the reefs in the Gulf, going to head back up with that little tiny bit, that 2 temperature degree drop. Has that started them moving up towards the interior waters with the canals and all that, getting ready for cold weather? Or do you think they're still there from the spawn? And it's not new fish, but the same fish.
No, I think you're right. With some of those fish are coming in from the reefs and hanging out on the beach, and other fish are just ones that haven't decided to leave yet. You know, there's always an oddball one that stays out on the beach, like you said, that weird uncle thing. There's always a couple out there all year long that just never seem to want to leave. But the vast majority of the fish have left the reefs and the beaches and are now on the inside of the intercoastal, up along the east wall, the west wall. And I'm even getting a couple reports of guys catching some actually very brilliantly colored snook in the PGI canals and a couple up at Eljobean that have obviously were beach fish recently because they're super silver with real nice yellow fins on them, which is a great indicator that those fish
just
boogied from the passes and the beaches and ran straight inside.
So, RJ, why if you see yellow fins and blue highlights, silver and yellow fins, a white belly, silver markings and all that, why would you know that came from the Gulf?
They haven't been stained by the tannins yet.
Yeah. That's exactly.
As they get further up into the backwaters there, they get exposed to tan, and then all that silver turns to a lighter, darker...
Copper color, yeah. Brown.
And the yellow goes away pretty quick. That's, I think, one of the first things they lose are the yellow fins.
Those dull out really quick.
Yeah.
And that's kind of critical for you guys to understand, that when you come to Florida, you want to identify fish by the shape much more than by the color. Because here we are, we're talking about snook that are along the clear waters of the beach. And to be camouflaged there, they're actually very light colors. You're going to see a little bit of blues, yellows, a lot of white, silver, still have darker backs because that's protection against birds. When the top of the fish is what a bird would see. So they're always going to be dark, try and blend against the bottom. Works really good unless you're on white sand bottom. You know, then it makes them fairly obvious. So nature kind of messed up on that one. But as they come up in the harbor, the brown water, the tannins, which are produced by the oak leaves, mangrove leaves, all these other leaves falling in the water, dye the water brown the same way as if you put tea leaves in a cup of water. The water turns brown. If you get enough of them in there, the water gets very brown. A little bit of it in there, the water's light brown. Right now we're just going through a much lighter brown color because there's just not that much water flowing down. And when it rains, the rain goes across the ground through all those leaves, then into a little ditch, then into a creek, and then into the river, and then from the river down into the harbor. That's where the dyeing comes from. That's where that color comes from, is as that water goes across the land with all these oak leaves and all these other leaves, that brings it down. It's not only about the leaves that fall in the water, it's about the leaves everywhere through the watershed. The leaves in your backyard are helping to dye the rainwater a different color than it goes, you know, down the curb and into the pipe and out into the harbor. All that brown comes together.
Yeah.
So the longer they're in the brown water, the more darker color they are, the more copper color, the more browns, the less white, silver, and yellow you'll see.
Right. And tannins are another acidic, too, which a lot of people aren't aware of, you know, because we have to explain to people about corrosion on their reels, corrosion on some of their terminals on their boat switches and stuff like that. Salt waters are corrosive, but so is the tannins. The tannins can actually accelerate.
The brackish water, which means salt water diluted by river runoff or whatever, I think it's actually more corrosive than salt water. I've seen people with outdrives have the outdrive on their boat eaten away in just about 6 months. A hole eaten right in it.
Yeah.
If they've got a loose ground wire or something on the boat, it'll just start chewing through it. That tannic water with that salt content, boy, that's corrosive stuff.
Yeah, you combine the two. It's like, you know, I told a guy one time, he's like, well, I grew up over in Miami and my reel would last me, you know, 4 or 5 years taking pretty good care of it. And this one only lasted me about 2, maybe 3 years. I'm like, you didn't have the tannins in the water, too, so you've got two corrosive working against you. The reel still worked fine, but it was pitted, you know, how the yep. finish on it. It was the finish on it was starting to get pitted, and I'm like, you know, just from the overspray on your boat, that tannin splash in it were just eating up the paint on a couple of his reels, and he couldn't figure it out, and that was the only thing that made sense because we see switches and battery terminals get corroded extremely quickly here, especially going into this time of year as we're drying out a little bit more.
And if you're out there and your car isn't starting or your boat or your lawnmower or whatever, take the negative wire off, clean it good, clean the terminal, put it back on, and chances are it'll work again.
Yeah.
Don't know why it is. But down here, the ground wire, the negative connection on your battery always seems to be the bad one. I don't know why the positive connection doesn't have like half and half. It's 8 out of 10 times, 9 out of 10 times the ground wire. Let's see. You talked about driest September. What is going on? You said you and Christina went out fishing. What was the number one thing you caught?
Number one thing she caught the most of was lizard fish. I caught like two. But the lizard fish were right up along the surf line, which is honestly a little strange, just because
no actually we during certain times of year, they actually come very close to shore. Most often, though, we find them out in 30 feet of water.
Right, and that's what I'm traditionally used to. I have caught them near shore on or from the shore on occasion, but we caught numbers of them. I mean, I don't know, 12, 15, I have no idea. So, you know, and just to catch that many, it was like, wow, this is a little
unusual.
What'd
you catch them on?
Let's see, mostly on shrimp, but she caught a lot on the little swim baits. Just throwing out there.
What swim baits?
Which one was it? I think it was either the Storm or the live target. I can't remember which one.
Was it the tiniest swim
bait? No.
The 3 or 4 inch?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the 3 inch.
Okay, just your standard one you'd throw for trout, snook, redfish.
Yeah.
Now,
I couldn't get them to stay on the pompano jig because I was throwing the pompano jig. And she's catching ladyfish, lizardfish, all on that. And I'm like, okay, so I just put a shrimp on the pompano jig. Then I started catching them. But I couldn't get them to hit a pompano jig, which is weird.
So lizardfish, for those of you wondering, it's a long, slender, not long. They only get like a foot or two long, full grown. Average probably around 8 to 10 inches. But they're kind of cigar-shaped. But their head looks like a snake. It's a very triangular head. Its mouth is half its face. That when the lizardfish opens its mouth up, it's literally half its head is mouth. And it's got all kinds of teeth down the top and bottom of them.
Even on their tongue, they have teeth.
Even on their tongue, yep.
Really?
All right.
No,
edible,
that's pretty
not
cool.
Edible?
I suppose you could eat them.
Did you find any recipes?
No, I didn't find any recipes. That's why I'm thinking that not many people eat them.
All right.
No lizard fish on the half shell?
No lizard fish on the half shell. Frank's looking that up. They are a benthic fish, just like a flounder, and they almost kind of look like a flounder that's been on a diet. You know, that they still have the same kind of head where their eyes are up on the top. And so when they attack a lure or a piece of bait or something like that, they're going from the bottom up. So you're catching them as they're rising up to whatever you're fishing with, whether you're using a lure or a shrimp or something like that. And, you know, pretty similar to the way you would catch flounder. They lay in wait for something to come over the top of them and they grab it.
Now, do they bury into the sand a little bit for a camouflage?
They do, just exactly like a flounder would do.
Okay. And that makes sense because of their scalation, you know, the way it's kind of, it's not a really big keeled scale pattern, but it's definitely not smooth by any stretch of the imagination. But they're also not really extremely slimy. So that's why I was kind of figuring maybe they did dig a little bit. And
yeah, from what I've read and what I've seen, they definitely dig into the sand and just the eyes. If you see a picture of them, their eyes stick up on the top of their head like a frog.
Yeah.
And they'll bury themselves down so just the eyes are there.
They're definitely a goofy little fish.
Goofy little fish, right.
But the other cool part about them is that they're incredible bait. You know, a lot of times when you're heading offshore and you try to stop to catch pinfish and squirrelfish, you catch lizard fish as bycatch. Grouper eat the snot out of them. I mean, they really, really like lizard fish. And then I
How is
personally...
How was it for cut bait?
I haven't
is
ever...
Is lizard fish a good cut bait?
I haven't ever tried it cut, but I'll bet it would work. I've just always used them whole because I've never really caught one big enough to say I'm going to cut it up. You know, the ones I usually catch are in that 5 to 7 inch range.
Yeah, they're kind of like a sardine size. You know,
yeah, they're kind of like that perfect size. Yeah, exactly. They're perfect Spanish sardine size. So, but I've caught snook on them, tarpon. People have caught cobia that they've cleaned and found lizard fish inside of them. So a lot of different species of fish do feed on them regularly, which is pretty cool. And they're a nice little streamlined bait. So if you're fishing them in a stronger current area, they hold on pretty good and don't completely twist up on you the way, say, something that's a little broader like a pinfish does when you get them into some of those stronger currented areas.
Well, they're flattened in the opposite direction. Yeah. They're flattened horizontally, so they kind of flop along the bottom while you do that instead of spinning.
Exactly.
The other thing is they've got a pretty thick skin on them, so you can hook them and hold them on the hook for a good amount of time. It won't. The hook doesn't tear out of them so easily.
Right. That's pretty cool.
Now, I always used to catch lizard fish trolling. When I'd be out in the Gulf, we'd have these big king mackerel spoons on. And these spoons are 4 to 6 inches long, 6-aught to 8-aught hooks on them. And you'd see the rod kind of bobbling weird, not pulled all the way over. It's still pulled, but it's not doing steady like it's got a bait on it. And you bring it up, there's like an 8-inch lizard fish on this. And when I say half their head opens up when they open their mouth, that's what it looks like to me. It looks like a cartoon creature with these pointy, this triangular-shaped jaw. It's, you know, just and that, boom, and it opens up. And, I mean, these monster, you know, baits. Now, normally, if you're going to catch them, a half a piece of shrimp is great. Little tiny spoons and jigs works out good. And, you know, I hear all kinds of people. Nobody really has come up with a good recipe for lizard fish.
No. If you see them, you would say, I'm not eating that. And, yeah. And there's actually two other species of lizard fish. As you get a little further offshore, you got the deep sea lizard fish, you know, which is down, you know, quite a bit of depth, and they're long, flat, eel-like looking things. But the oddball in the family is something called a Bombay duck, and they live in the mid ranges in deep water. And if you see one, pull it up on Wikipedia. There's a couple of really good pictures of it.
Bombay duck.
It's called the Bombay duck. It's also Bumalo is the Spanish name for them. They grow about 2.5 feet long. They have a huge mouth. I mean, a regular lizard fish has got a big mouth, but if you see the Bombay duck, it's huge.
It's, yeah, okay.
And it's not. And when you see it, you say, I'm not eating that.
All right. Well, so we've decided that the lizard fish is good bait. Used whole and fresh, it's been a very good bait for grouper, tarpon, snook, whatever have you. Any of the bigger fish that eat smaller fish seem to like lizard fish. We're thinking they may end up being a fairly good cut bait. We haven't tried them frozen yet. Everybody I know goes out, catches them. And for grouper, you want them whole, live. We put them right in a live well, stick the hook through them, drop them down live the same way you would a squirrel fish, except you'll catch more grouper with the lizard fish than you will the squirrel fish. But because it's ugly, people think the better looking squirrel fish will catch more, because obviously the prettier the bait, the more fish are going to eat it. And
the grouper motto is go ugly early.
Go ugly early. It's only 10 o'clock. It's not 2 o'clock. But, hey, why take a shot? Why take a chance? All right. Redfish. Is there a lot of redfish around right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been getting a lot of reports on some good redfish.
Oh, yeah. Pretty sure there's a redfish out there. Which way did he go, buddy?
George.
Which way did he go?
That's how it
was. It was a little redfish, George. It was just a little one. Which way did he go, George?
North and south. There's a bunch of them out on the beach.
You just get so excited. What? Hey, is there a redfish up there? Yep. Uh-huh. There's a redfish in them dar hills.
There's been some schools out off the beaches a lot. Guys are finding them from 20 feet off the beach to 300 yards off the beach. You know, fishing that same calm water that they've been just going back and forth between essentially Sanibel all the way up to Venice. And I'm sure there's probably some fish above Venice, but the handful of fish I'm still hearing about have been like Manasota Key to Captiva Pass. Those have been the last two positive reports that I've gotten on schools of fish. The one guy found them just above Stump Pass, and he said they were 20 feet off the beach. And then another guy who was fishing somewhere between Gasparilla and Captiva, because he was very vague because he's fishing a tournament this weekend, found them 300 yards off the beach in about 6.5-7 feet of water. And he said that was super impressive to see that, because there was five.
Johnson Shoals is about the only place that could be.
Yeah, we just gave that one away.
Yeah, I'm literally sitting here thinking, okay, no, 6 feet of water, 100 feet offshore. Yeah, not many places for that.
300 yards offshore.
Okay, 300 yards off. Defines it even more. You gave away secrets, Robert.
Yeah.
So we're going to go around tomorrow. There's going to be like 600 boats lined up on Johnson.
Yes, exactly.
These redfish are lousy tournament fish. They're lousy, you know. Well, you can't keep them anyway at this point now. But they're all over slot.
Yeah.
These are big redfish. We're talking averaging 30 to 35 inches.
Yeah.
There's some in that 40-plus inches. There's some down to probably 27 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But let's call it 35 average size.
Right.
That's 35 inches of pretty big redfish. You're not, I don't think, is that even a tournament fish?
It is now. They're doing photo tournaments, so it's inches now.
So it's however many inches you can find.
Yep.
So these would be good tournament
fish. These would be good tournament fish.
Oh, they changed the rules on me.
Well, the Game of Fish changed the rules, so they kind of had to
adapt
to it.
Well, it's just like you used to be able to go down to the DMV and they would help you fill stuff out. Okay, make sure you got that and this and that. Nice, super nice people. Ha! What a joke that is now. So everything changes. I mean,
yes.
I feel bad. Those people at the DMV got to have the most miserable lives because it's just god awful doing that. So is my point in pointing out how bad the DMV went from this amazing group of people to this present group? Do you think this tournament, they're going to pictures now, do you think that's a benefit or a detriment?
Honestly, I think it's going to be a benefit for the fish, because now they're not being thrown in a live well and beat up all day and then taken to a totally different location and then being released to flipper. You know, because okay. that was pretty common with a lot of areas when the tournaments would go on. I mean, you just see all these snook and redfish and trout being released and flipper by the dozens sitting out there playing volleyball with them.
That is awesome. Have you ever watched them throw a big redfish back and forth like it's a beach ball or something? I mean, you know, you're sitting out there, your job is to eat fish. If you're a dolphin / flipper or whatever, your whole job is to eat fish. That's what you're there for. And there's not a lot else to do. It's not like they got underwater TVs. I'd like to put a TV underwater. If I could seal one up and see if they would, you know, like play reruns of Flipper or something. See if they would come watch, you know, because it got to be boring there. So when you release all these redfish, and some of them are been in the live well all day, kind of beat up, they're groggy, they can grab them, and then they use them as a ball. They throw them back and forth.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
People get mad at them, and I'm like, wait a minute. That's his job. He eats those fish. That's what they're kind of there to do.
That's what they're there for,
Flipper, stop playing with your dinner.
Yeah, don't play with your dinner. Eat your veggies first. Eat your algae first, right?
Maybe they're just bored and didn't want to eat it completely in its solid form, and they were just doing it to tenderize it a little bit. Or it could be an older dolphin that's missing some of its teeth.
He throws it at the younger ones?
No, just
says,
flips
here,
it.
Tenderize this and flips send it back. Or
flips it up 30 feet in the air and lets it body slam and just kind of gelatinizes itself, so it's just perfect.
I have no idea. But I was always opposed to tournaments
for that main reason. Right.
So the photo tournaments, you guys think, will actually be a little bit better?
Absolutely. I think it'll be a better benefit for the fish, and
they're going to be actually able to bring in. It was always embarrassing. They say, you know, we had an 8-pound redfish won the tournament, when we know there's 45-pound redfish out there.
Exactly.
And it's been kind of an embarrassment for Florida, you know. Okay, and because of the size limits, they were only allowed to do, it had to be less than 27 inches. If it was 27 inches, you got kicked out of the tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the fish has to be under 27 to be legal. So you hear about these little numbers going along, and you're like, that's embarrassing. You know, you hear about 45-pound redfish here and 30-pound redfish there. Florida's got 8.
Yeah.
It is 6. It's so cute.
Yeah.
But now we'll have redfish, bull reds, Bull Reds.
It should be interesting, you know. And then there's a lot of, not only are you got those schools out there on the beaches, but you got a lot of fish that are just singles and doubles on the east wall and the west wall, too, and the Pine Island Sound.
Okay.
Real quick, red tide, has it come back?
Background concentrations, which is normal.
There was a whole bunch of dead fish pictures coming up out of Fort Myers. But remember we talked about if they're all mullet, is it red tide? And in the picture, I picked up on that, boys. You taught me well. I looked in the pictures as close as I could. Almost, it was 90% mullet.
The first two things to die from red tide, number one is mullet, because they like eating the algae. So they go in to eat the stuff, and then they die. And when they die, the smell goes out. The catfish go in to eat the dead mullet, because neither one of them has, the brains God give a turnip. But if it's 99% mullet and a little bit of other stuff, that's commercial fishing, and those are all male mullet. And if you don't believe me, go squeeze the mullet. You'll find out they're shooting white roe, and that's just commercial bycatch. So, in another instance, this is This Week in Fishing, and tune in next week for more of This Week in Fishing with your host, Fishin' Frank. In the chair across from Frank, you will find Robert, and up in Command and Control Center, RJ the Magnificent. Until next week, boys and girls, goodbye, good day, and good night. I'm gonna fish, 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 fish.